This morning I'm going to deal with one that I guess probably is the most difficult for people to say. Three words. I love you. I love you. I guess if most were honest, they would have to admit that it's been a long time since they've said that to anybody. These three words do not come easy to me. They cause a lot of people to stutter, to go silent, choke up when they get ready to say them. Probably all of you have seen a movie in which the proposing boy can't seem to get any further than I. And she says, yes, 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 yes. And finally, you know, this goes on and he blurts it out, I love you. And of course, they get married and live happily ever after. Then there are folks who just can't say it, and so they let somebody else say it. Yesterday, in preparation for the message, I went through some card shots. And you'd be amazed how well some other folks can say it for you. It may cost you anywhere, I noticed, from 50 cents to $5, but depending on the cards you want to buy, but you can get somebody else to say it for you. Well, they don't really say those words, though. They say something else, like you are my sunshine or something like that. They have something. They never come out and say those words. I read about boys who couldn't say it that would go out and rent a billboard and have it plastered on billboard for the girl to drive by on the freeway to see one day. But again, those that can't say it, I have seen little hearts carved in desks and on fences and tree trunks. And they just put the initials in there. They're really shy, you know. They don't know who it is, but that's another way we get around from saying, I love you. Then again, I believe it's a lot easier to write the words than it is to face a person and say it out loud in their face. It's easier to sign a letter 100 miles away, I love you, than stand before them and say the same thing. As I prepared the message, it dawned on me that you don't have to say I love you in a wedding service. I never thought about it. Now, I say it, wilt thou love this man or wilt thou love this woman? And all they have to answer is, I will. They don't have to say, I love you. Maybe we ought to rewrite that. I don't know, maybe the wedding would break down at that point. They couldn't say it. But I thought that was quite strange. Then there's one day of the year that we seemingly designate as the day to tell everybody we love them. We call it Valentine's Day. It's the day of love, I guess. But yet I find that most people go back to the cars to tell the story. I recall reading about a retreat that was being held for retired couples. For recreation, they played their own version of the newlywed game, where they would take, you know, the men and ask them some questions to see how well they knew their wives, and then they would bring the wives back and ask them the same questions to see if they got the same answer. Well, one of the questions that they asked the men that were involved in the game, how long has it been since you told your wife you loved her? One man said, it's been 40 years. Well, they brought the wives back and they asked the wife, how long has it been since your husband told you he loved you? And she said, 40 years. Then the man, knowing that this was a long time, came to his defense and he said, yes, but I told her when I married her, I loved her. And if I ever changed my mind, I'd tell her that too. So he just let it ride for 40 years, you see. Amen, back in the back. Now, last week, we considered the problem of saying thank you. But I think all of us would agree that it's a lot easier to say thank you than it is to say to a person, I love you. On the other hand, you don't have to say I love you to very many people. You wouldn't say it to the clerk at the store that waited on you. That might get you thrown out of the store. See, you wouldn't say when she gave you change, thank you and I love you. That wouldn't work. So you have sort of a select group. It's reserved for a certain group of people, this phrase, I love you. Now, normally, we associate the expression with romance and courtship and marriage. That's where we begin thinking about the expression. We even refer to these kinds of arrangements as love stories. And so it stands to reason that you don't go around whispering to every woman you would meet, I love you, or to every man you meet, I love you, because there's no romantic attachment. You just don't go around saying this to everybody. I know there are some people that go around saying, I love you, I love you. It always puzzles me, you know. I don't know what they're talking about. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. The world will not only raise a few eyebrows, but you may get a few face slaps if you just go around telling everybody, I love you, you know, unless you clarify yourself. So you say, I love you, for somebody that's special. Now, Ecclesiastes 9:9 is the verse we're going to begin with this morning. And you'd be amazed how few verses there are in the Bible that relate to loving somebody in a relationship of marriage. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which God hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For this is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Now Solomon had the idea that everyone was entitled, while he lived under the sun, to have himself a husband and a wife. Everyone was entitled to this special kind of love, the romantic kind. Now the other verses are found in the book of Ephesians, and that's all of them. Just two books talks about a man and a wife loving each other. That's Song of Solomon, or Ecclesiastes, and Ephesians. Song of Solomon does too. I didn't think about that one. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, although the word love is not used in Song of Solomon's. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and the 21st verse. I just looked up the word love and came up with these two books, Ecclesiastes and Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Most of you are familiar with these words. Husbands, love your wives. Now, it doesn't say husbands, tell your wives you love them. See, that doesn't say that. It just says husbands, love your wives. And some man would say, well, I can love her without telling her. Can you really? That man had been married 40 years. Was that truly the way to express the kind of love the Bible says, husbands, love your wives? It shouldn't be a guessing game, all right? Then it says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, verse 28, men ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. And then verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as he loves himself. Now you'll notice in the two verses that I read, the instructions are to the man. I thought about that. Why? Why don't we have a command, wives, love your husband? Is it possible that men are more reluctant to love a wife than it is for a wife to love a husband? These are just questions that came to my mind for which I have no answer. Is it easier for a woman to say I love you than it is for a man to say I love you? Maybe the women could give me an answer. I don't know. But it seems the instructions have to be given to the man. And it's obvious that there is possibly no instruction to the woman because she'll do it anyway. I don't know. But it's a curious question. But I believe the nature of marriage demands that both man and woman, husband and wife, be shown the same kind of love, which would involve, of course, the statement, I love you. Because born into all of us is a desire to be loved by another person. There are a few exceptions, but normally speaking, this is a normal desire that everyone has to be loved in a romantic way by someone else. It seemingly is a natural thing. Maybe because this is true, the Bible just doesn't deal with it. The Bible doesn't tell us to drink water because it's a natural thing to do. So maybe loving one another as man and wife is just so natural there's not much need to talk about it. You'll do this. Someone's made the statement, love is only for the young and the middle-aged and the old. That covers everybody. And that's true. Now that brings us down to the second group of people that need to be told, I love you. This is in Colossians 3:20. Colossians 3:20. First, it needs to be the expression between a man and his wife. Now, Colossians, the third chapter, verse 20. You see the next group. Children, Obey your parents in all things. Now, part of that obedience would have to include a statement from the child to the parent, at times, I love you. That is part of honoring a parent. Now, the second thing, notice, fathers, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, one of the ways that you do not provoke children to wrath is that somehow you let them know that you love them, and one of the things that needs to be done on occasions is to tell them, I love you. So an occasional I love you is required between husband and wife and between parents and children. Doesn't have to be every day, but there are times when the statement should be made. The family relationship is fertile ground for this statement. Why? Because it's an implication of fondness. It's an implication of kindness. It's an implication of concern. It's an implication of privilege. All right? It's possible for a child to grow up and never be told. The parent says, well, they ought to know we show them we love them. I think both are important. We need to both tell and show. And it's possible also for a child to grow up and never say to a parent, I love you. And you know, oftentimes when I begin to sense this has happened at a funeral, and most of you who have not been in a funeral, that is someone in your family has not died, probably have not noticed this. But the minister remains. Everybody leaves the funeral home but the family. Normally the family will come up to view the body the last time. Almost without fail, someone will say, Father, mother, daughter, son, I love you. I wonder if they waited until they died to finally tell them. Now, I don't know this, but it seems to be sort of a guilt feeling they have that all during their lifetime they never told them, and now it's too late, but they want them to know it. But it is too late. It's really sort of a sad picture. But maybe they've told this all their life. I hope so. But sometimes that's the only time that the words are ever spoken. This should not be. This should not be. If you want your children to hear you say, I love you, then it should be done now. And you should tell them you love them. All right? Now, there is a third category of people that you need to say, I love you to. And this is found in 1 John 4:21. 1 John 4:21. John says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Here again, the statement is one of fondness, and one of appreciation, and one of encouragement, and one of support, and one of prayer. If I was going to tell people that were Christians, I love you, because of the romantic connection, I would always say, in the Lord. In the Lord. I love you as a brother in Christ. I love you as a sister in Christ. I would note that the reason I'm saying is because of my relationship based on being a child of God just as they are. Sometimes you'll hear a Christian say, nobody loves me. And you say, oh, I love you. In the Lord. Because I care for you as the Lord cares for you. So the Christian is supposed to say to Christians, I love you in the Lord. God loves you and I love you too. But the reason I love you as I do is because of the Lord's making me a child just like he made you. We are related in Christ as brother and sister. So there is a time when the Christian can say, I love you. Then there's one more category of people that you can say you love. Look at Matthew 22:39. Matthew 22:39. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I believe this is probably the least group that we would ever feel compelled to tell that we love. I would say you have to be very cautious in saying this, and especially let it be known that you love them because God loves them. This would be a person that's had tragedy, person that is in great sorrow, and you come to them and you say, listen, I care about you because I love you. But that love is based basically on care. You care for them, and that's the way your love expresses itself. Then there's one other group, in the verse above that, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You know, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? I wonder if Christ wants us to say, I love you. He seemed to have been fishing for these words from Peter. And Peter said, you know I love you. So here would be the groups of people that you could say, I love you too. We would not want to leave out Christ. I also know that it's easier to sing it, "Oh, how I love Jesus," than to say it. It'd be easier for you to stand up in the congregation and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," than it would be to stand up right now by yourself and say out loud, "I love Jesus." It would be easier to sing it. But in your private devotions, maybe there will be times that you ought to say, just out in a personal way, "Jesus, I love you." There are songs that say it, but in your own words, you just say it. So these are the groups now that you can say, "I love you," to. Before I close the message, I want to consider the question of why is it so hard to say to somebody, "I love you." Now, maybe it's not hard to you. If not, that's wonderful. You are rare indeed. Try and think of the last time somebody said it to you. Then try to think of the last time you said it to somebody. Husband, has it been 40 years since you said to your wife? So why it's been so long, I've forgotten. Why are we so reluctant to say? I thought about this and came up with several reasons which I think are plausible. First of all, to me the most obvious reason is because no saying involves greater risk to me than that saying. No saying can hurt me more and get me in more trouble than that saying. And because of the potential danger involved in those three words, most of us are reluctant to never use it. I believe it's more risky to tell somebody, "I love you," than it is to give them a blank check with your signature on it. It can be more costly than anything you will ever do. And I think subconsciously a lot of people realize that to be true, and for that reason they're a little slow to say it. You see, love is not something earned. Love is something that's freely given. But once it's freely given, the person you give it to has total control over you. Otherwise, it's not love. That's why love is so risky. When you love a person, you open yourself up to be taken advantage of. There's the real problem. When I say I love you to somebody, I am placing myself under their control and their power with one desire in mind: to make them happy at my expense. No more costly words than "I love you." We are afraid for them to say, after we say "I love you," "All right, if you love me, then you will give me this and you will do this." Everybody understands the conditions of love. They're costly conditions. So we say, "Man, I'm not about to go around and tell somebody I love them," because the first thing they're going to do is say, "Well, if you love me, here's what I want." And it may not be I want to give it. And so if I don't say it, I'm not obligated. If I don't say it, I don't promise anybody anything. But if I say it, they have a claim on me. Because in saying "I love you," I am saying my desire is to make you happy. Now, what is your desire? Folks, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. And so a person says, "I don't know who I would love that I would like to put myself in that position." Maybe that's the reason we don't say "I love you." Because when you do, you become under somebody's control. And that's why we're afraid to say, "Jesus, I love you." Because Jesus said to Peter, "All right, Peter, if you love me," he did this, folks, "if you love me, then go out and do what I told you to." It was costly for Peter to say, "I love you, Jesus." All right? Love expresses a desire of your heart, but that desire is to grant them the desire of their heart. A lot of people don't understand that's what they're saying when they say "I love you," but brother, the person that receives it sure does, and that's what sometimes gets marriages in trouble. "But you said you love me." "Well, I do, but you don't." You see, there's your problem. One has the idea, if I'm ever told I'm loved, then you'll grant me my desire if it's in your possibility. If you're impossible, then you'll give me what I want if you ever tell me you love me. That's what Jesus says. If you ever tell me you love me, you'll give me what you'll give me what I want. Now, brethren, it's dangerous to say "I love you," because in it, you offer a tremendous promise. Promise of their happiness at your expense. Now, that's love. Love gives and asks nothing in return. That's the danger of love. You see, love always puts you in the position of being the giver and being the pleaser. Love does that. "Because I love you, I'll do this for you." It puts me in the position of doing something for you. I'm the loser and you're the winner in love. But by pleasing you, I become the winner, because nothing pleases me more than to please you. I get my pleasure out of pleasing you. You get my pleasure out of what I do. So a person says, I don't want to do anything, will never say I love you. Because the other person will then begin to collect the debt owed by that statement. Love makes you vulnerable to the wishes of the person you want to love. Love is costly. Nothing is more costly. Jesus said, even the point of your life. The joke goes, the boy says, I'd die for you, my love. And she said, oh, Harold, you're always saying that, but you never do it. Well, he couldn't do it but once. You know, that'd be the end of Harold. But you see, that's how far love promises to go. And that's how far the loved one expects it to go. I'll die for you. Well, do it. Do it. The boy might have said, I don't think I'll love you anymore. Sometimes we don't understand what we're saying. Or maybe we do understand. That's why we don't say it more often than we do. Love is so generous that it's frightening. So what person can I trust with my love? Can you trust your child? Yeah, I don't know now. Can you trust your wife? Oh, I don't know, man. Can you trust your husband? Not on your wife. No, man. Wait a minute now. Do you ever say I love him? No, no, no. Why not? I don't want to pay the price. Now, there's a truth in this, now, people. There's a real truth in this. Who can I trust that I'm sure that when I say I want to make you happy and I want to please you, they won't take advantage of me, and they won't abuse me, and they won't hurt me, and they won't wrong me, and they won't destroy me, and they won't break my heart? We're a little shy. We pull back, don't we? Well, I think a lot of people don't say I love you because they realize what demands may be put upon them when they say it. Now, there's a second reason I think a lot of people may not say I love you. It's because of another fear. And that's the fear of the kind of response they might get from the person that they tell it to. What I mean by this is the person may give them a cold shoulder. The person may reject their offer of love. The person may laugh at them. And the person may ridicule them. And that would be just too painful for them to bear. So they will never say it. And that way they can't get hurt. They can't get embarrassed. They won't have to go back and crawl in some hole because of the shame and embarrassment brought to that. And so they say, I don't want to say it. It might start an argument. It might start a joke. It might be laughed at. So I'm not going to run the risk of being hurt. I might be rejected. They might say, well, you can love me, but I don't love you. And I couldn't take that, so I'll just not say it. I don't want to find out. And so a lot of people, I think, say that because when you say it to somebody, I believe you're really fishing for them to say it back to you. That's the protection in love. I would not want to love somebody that I felt like would not really want to love me. Although this is, of course, what God did. But I think God in His mind wants us to love Him just like He loves us. You know, when you say, I love you, it's almost like saying, I surrender all. What really makes a beautiful relationship is when both people say it to each other. Then you have nothing to worry about. When I surrender all to you and you surrender all to me, there's nothing to worry about. Because my happiness is utmost to you and your happiness is utmost to me. How can you have problems there? You can't. A wonderful relationship where both people are willing to say, I love you. And then a third reason I think some people don't say I love you is because pride makes them unable to admit they need anybody for anything at any time. There was a song I heard when I was a kid. I got along without you before I met you, and I can get along without you now. I remember that. Never forgot those words. And that's the attitude of a lot of people, and they say, I'm not going to tell anybody I love them because I don't need anybody that bad. I love myself, and that's sufficient. You can like me or you can hate me, and I really don't care. I love me, and me only do I love, and that's the way it's going to stand. And so there are some people who just don't want to be obligated and don't need anybody, they think. And so they'll never tell anybody they love him because they don't, and they won't. When all is said and done, I still think that there's magic in the words when sincerely stated, I love you. I want to close with making just a comparison of the statement, I love you, with a strong steel cable that's stretched between two mountain cliffs. Now, on that cable is hung a walkway. You pretty well get the picture. And we are walking from one side to the other in our lifetime. Everybody needs some encouragement, somebody to comfort them, somebody to strengthen them, someone to ensure them, no matter what happens on the bridge, that the cable holds true, that there's at least one thing in their life they can always count on, the cable holding true. I believe the statement, "I love you," is that cable. When everything else on the bridge gets shaky and the storms and the winds may blow through, they can look down, and when somebody says, "I love you," that cable says, "Still holding. It's still holding. I can count on one thing." I recall my mother sitting by my daddy's bedside when he had his heart attack. The cable was holding. There was nothing else. He might die, but for daddy, the cable held. And just before their 50th wedding anniversary, my mother lay in the hospital bed dying of cancer, and there sat my daddy night and day. He could do nothing else but one thing. Tell her the cable holds. I love you. That's all he had to give her. Brethren, that's the one thing in life we need. Somebody to hold true the cable. And when everything else falls out from under you, you can look down and say, "Hey, does the cable hold?" And if somebody will say, "Yes, I still love you," the cable holds. You need something like that, because sometimes that's the only support you will ever have in this life. It's somebody holding you up. Because they love you. Father, we're thankful this day because from your side the cable held, and it still holds. And you'll never stop saying to us these words of assurance. May we, as we stop and look into our own life, realize how necessary and how needed and how strengthening these three little words can be to people, because many people live for them, walk upon them, trust in them, and that's all they have to go on. Father, we ask that you enable us to say this more than we do, that we realize the price to pay, and yet that there are people that we'd like to say it to. We ask that you help us in this matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.